Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Tennis IQ podcast. Josh and I hope that you're enjoying the content and discussions that we put out week after week. If you'd like to support the podcast and help us to continue to produce quality episodes, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership. Currently, we have two tiers of support, $3 per month and $7 per month. So again, our Patreon page is patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership. Thank you so much. And now, on to the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Tennis IQ podcast. I'm Josh Berger.
And I'm Brian Lomax. And today, Josh and I are going to talk about something that we have really derived from existential philosophy. And it's understanding that within each of us, there are really three versions of ourselves, and we want to talk about each of those versions and how valuing one of them over the others may be more of a performance benefit or even an improvement benefit to players. And those three versions are who you were, who you are, and who you are becoming. So what we're going to do today is go through those three versions that really lie within each of us, and discuss how they manifest themselves in the careers of tennis players. Maybe what are the benefits or issues with focusing on, each version. And then we'll get into the version that we think we should place more emphasis on so that players, again, can perform better, improve more, and really hopefully hit their purpose or their goal of becoming the best player they can become. So Josh, let's start off with the first version, the idea of focusing more on who you were. This might be a niche one a little bit, but what are your thoughts on when people focus on who they were, and when might that happen?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think injuries would definitely be the most common situation I would think of. Or that I've experienced. When someone's coming back from an injury, especially if it's more of a prolonged injury, it can be easy to think back to where you were, who you were, and where you were, right? Okay. What was my level at that time? What was I doing, right? Was I able to play in certain types of tournaments? Was I able to beat certain types of players? If you're playing for a team, whether it's high school, college, the USTA adult team, were you enjoying that camaraderie and, being a part of that team that maybe you haven't felt as included or as a part of recently? So I think that would be a key example in terms of, an injured athlete on their way back and really focusing on where they were and getting back to that level of where they were. But I think it can happen in other cases where if a player, let's say, has a breakthrough tournament, wins a tournament, or, gets further than they'd gotten before, and then they're constantly comparing themselves to that past level. So I think there's different situations that can come up, but injuries are definitely one of the more common situations. How about you?
Yeah, that's the one I've seen the most, although I like your second example. I think that's really good. In working with some players who have had injuries and then struggled afterwards, there's often talk of, I was at this level, 6 months ago. Now my rating is plummeting. So there may be even some comparison of where they are today versus where they used to be, but they are putting a lot more emphasis on who they were, as if that was the ultimate. But it was just one particular level. But I think there's some faulty logic in the who you were anyway, because it's in the past and it's not even your best level. So what are you really trying to aspire to when you're just trying to get back to a certain level? But I think it's also natural, Josh, that an injured athlete, perhaps they haven't played in a while. They would like to get their feel and their game back to at least where they used to be so that they can build up from that. But I think the issue becomes in constantly comparing, your current level versus where you used to be, and then what does that do to your confidence if you're not hitting it? And then that can lead to all sorts of issues on the court. If you're not playing well and you're constantly thinking, well, this is not my level. I used to be better than this. I used to be better than this person. These become sources of interference in your performance, and it's going to be difficult to simply let it rip and go for your shots, because you're so worried about getting back to where you were. And I like your example too. After a big win, what do we do? Are we all of a sudden that win, and that win is how we define ourselves going forward? It might be tough to live up to that win. And I think one of the challenges for every tennis player, and really taking this from something Roger Federer said the challenge for any athlete is to be able to bring it every single day. It's not about some big win in the past. It's what are you going to do today? And so I think when we think about, or if players are thinking a little bit too much about who they were, they're generally doing a comparison of who they are right now, who they were, and it's often a negative comparison. Like perhaps in the past, our level was a little bit better, whether that was an injury or we had, like you said, some big win. So I find that to be more of a distraction, and I don't feel like focusing on who you were actually helps you to improve or perform better in the moment. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, certainly, but I think it can be hard. I think especially if a player a player was a certain level, like if we're talking about rankings or UTR and they achieve certain milestones in terms of those areas, and now because of that injury or because of that slump or whatever reason, they're not reaching those same heights, it can be very easy, right? If a player, let's say in the 12 and unders, was, had a certain ranking, let's say in their section, in their USTA section, and now they're in the 14s or the 16s, and they're struggling to maintain that same sort of level, or maybe some of the players that they played with have surpassed them, or maybe are growing faster than they are. It can be tough, and it can be tough to not think back to 6 months ago or a year or two ago when the situation was different. But ultimately, it's not productive to be thinking like that. It's just going to make it harder to really come to a point of acceptance with where you're at right now, and also start to look forward, which I know we'll talk more about later in this episode. But I think that's ultimately where we want to get, where we can put the past aside and accept that this is where we're at. And then, come up with a plan to move forward, come up with, start to think step by step in terms of what is it going to take for me to continue becoming that better and better player that I'm striving towards.
Yeah, and I think you're right about how players, it's not easy, but I also think it's easier if it's not your first time coming back from an injury, because you've probably seen that you can get your level back even if you take little breaks. Sometimes players, especially young players, they take a couple days off and they act as if they're going to forget how to play completely. And they feel like they need a lot of reps and so forth. And some people, I think, need more reps than others. But once you learn that you can come back from a break and get back to a level and then improve, and you've proven that process to yourself, hopefully you won't have more injuries, but it's likely you will, or some sort of break, you can feel a little bit better about that process. So, I'm working with two players right now, one who's had many injuries and he's taking his come back nice and slowly. He's trusting the process, and he knows that he will come back to his level because he has in the past, and he's surpassed that level from back from an injury. The other player is someone who it's really her first, I would say, major injury, and so the process of getting back is newer. It's more novel, and so not sure how to trust the process because the process is a bit unknown. And hopefully she will figure it out as we go along and understand that, yeah, it's not so much about where she was several months ago. It's going to be, we need a different focus for that. So then the next version that we want to talk about is who you are. And I think this is actually the one that's most prevalent in tennis players. We see it when players get very fixated and concerned and care a lot about today's match. And in some regards, maybe they care too much about today's match. And those feelings then tend to bring up perhaps some anxiety or fear of failure, fear of making mistakes. Perhaps they feel they need to prove something to someone, like, you know, why they're in this tournament. Do they belong at this level? I have to prove that. Maybe it's justifying that, hey, I'm a one of the top seeds, and I have to prove that I'm a top seed. I can't lose to this person because of my ranking or my UTR or NTRP or whatever other ranking system we want to talk about. And so there's so much emphasis on who they are right now and defending that status or putting so much into it. And I don't, there's certainly value in knowing who you are, making sure certainly that you have a good self-image with who you are. But I think it also is generally in contradiction somewhat with players' purpose or goal of becoming the best player they want to become. Because all of those things I just named really become barriers to best performance. And so if you're playing a match where maybe you're holding back or you're really stressed, so you're making bad decisions, what are you really practicing in these matches? What are you really perfecting? You're perfecting a suboptimal way of playing matches. So how much can you actually improve your game if you're not really playing your game? And so I think there needs to be some balance here about, when we're thinking about who we are. And so I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Josh.
I there are a couple big thoughts that come up. I mean, I think one of those thoughts, I was recently having a conversation with a younger player and her mom about this topic, about playing in a certain way in her age group, where the intention is not to win in her age group. She's playing in the 12 and unders, and you know th that ultimately the goal is not to be the best 12 and under player that she can be, and not to peak at this time, but to peak a lot later, to build her game in a way where she'll be at her best in a few years or longer, right? And you know, the what wins at in the 12 and under and girls 12 and unders is a lot different than what wins in the 16s or 18s or college tennis or professional tennis for girls and women, right? I mean, if you watch the 12 and unders, there's a lot more long rallies. Sometimes there's moon balls, sometimes there's, you know, things like that that aren't going to be nearly as successful at the higher levels in older age groups. And we're having this conversation about, you know, sometimes it takes some growing pain. Sometimes it takes you come up to net on the right shot and you get lobbed because you're not that tall at this age, and that's okay. And that's going to happen. That's part of the process of learning to be aggressive and learning to hit an approach shot and come up to net, which is what you want to do, and you want to build those skills. But sometimes, you know, you're not a fully formed, fully developed tennis player, and really you never are. And I think that's part of this, but not basing your game off of just who you are right now, but really also basing it off of, you know, what your goal is and where, what type of player you're trying to become, and playing in a way that's going to help you get there ultimately. So that was the first thing that came to mind. I think, and this is something we've talked about a lot, when you're out there, and especially if you're not playing your well, if who you are on that particular day is maybe a lower level than where you want to be or where you've been in some recent days, and you're in that match, it can be really frustrating. And we've talked a lot about this over importance on any one match, and almost that tunnel vision or that exaggeration of each match's purpose or each match's importance. And that has the impact of putting a lot of pressure on all athletes, right? If we are playing in a tournament this upcoming weekend, or we have a match for our team, and we build it up in our heads like this is so important, everything rides on this, which I think a lot of people do. In fact, I would say that can sort of be people's default state. Then it adds a lot of pressure. It makes us feel like, okay, well, if this match is so important, then we can't lose. We can't, we have to be at our best. We can't lose. We need to win. And as we've talked about, that's the type of thinking, that's the type of self-talk that adds a lot of pressure. That pressure is going, it tends to make it harder to really perform well, to be loose, to be relaxed out there, to be able to think clearly, to be able to put it all together in a way where you really can bring out your best tennis. So it ends up having a definitely a negative effect in terms of bringing out the type of tennis that you want to. You end up, you're what I find is people sort of start to micromanage all of the details of their performance. Okay, what do I need to, they start thinking about their technique. Maybe it's their technique on their serve or their technique with other parts of their game, where they're trying to really focus on every last detail of their game rather than being loose enough to go out there and play. So I think, yeah, when we think about this concept, we can think about it in terms of our development and maybe not being as pleased with our development. And we can also think of it on any given day in a match and maybe being less content with our level, where instead we want to get to a point where we understand there are ups and downs. There are ups and downs in a match, there are ups and downs in a career, there are ups and downs in a season. And on a particular day, you might be a little better or a little worse than your average level. And that's okay. And that happens to the best players in the world as well. So being able to accept that, and roll with it, right? Just because I'm not at my best level today doesn't mean I can't compete. Just because I'm not at my best level today doesn't mean I'm allowed to have some sort of meltdown and throw my racket or break a racket. Just because I'm having, not playing my best today doesn't mean I'm going to act in a way that I'm embarrassed about afterwards. So I think, getting to that point of acceptance on that particular day and being able to commit to some of the key things that you're trying to work on, whether it's your compete level, whether it's your time in between points, whether it's your strategy, and trying to make sure that just because maybe you're not playing your best, you're not losing sight of the other side of the court. You're not losing sight of the opponent. Because if you are, that's going to significantly hamper your chances of being successful, where, you want to make sure that you're still focused on, am I doing everything that I can to give myself a chance here, even if my level's not quite where I want it to be.
I would agree that the predominant perspective, sort of societally, and maybe just within tennis, not just within tennis, but within sport, is this idea of having to win today, right? Putting so much importance on that. And that's hard to break through. There's a lot of societal pressure or peer pressure, just in the community, whether you're on a team or just in some sort of tennis community, professional, junior, adult league. That, hey, we got to win today. We got to win today. And that then I think can lead to what you even described with your 12 and under player and what we see there. is sometimes we see very risk-averse strategies like pushing and moonballing. And as you stated, that's not going to win in the 16s and the 18s. So what is that player doing? Probably unconsciously. They're more or less trading a win today for improvement tomorrow. And so you have to decide at a certain point, is it more important for me to win today? Or do I really want to become a great player in the long run? Now, one could argue that perhaps building consistency and learning how to compete and being tough to break down is a valuable skill, and I would agree. It just depends on when will that player who pushes and moonballs in the 12s begin to transition to a game style that is, more appropriate for playing at the higher levels of the game. So it's not that that style isn't valuable. I think a lot can be learned from trying to actually be a pusher and just getting into that mindset a little bit. But then that's even just practice right there. So I think this idea that we must win today can really end up limiting your performance. And I think if we look at then the career overall, and I've had some players recently, Josh, where this is happening, they're so focused on who they are. What are we seeing? Their improvement is slowing down. Their games are plateauing. And in some cases, their games are getting worse because their results are not meeting what they expect of themselves in this moment. And so they continue to play a style during these matches that does not help them improve, and it doesn't even help them compete on today. So they're so focused on today, but they're getting in the way of even making today a good day. And so when we talk about this being a real potential performance barrier, we have to figure out a way to get through that. And I feel like focusing more, I'll make the case now, I think, for having players focus more on who they are becoming. And I think that this is maybe not just true in tennis. Say this is true in life, is that we should always be aspiring to be the best version of ourselves. And we'll probably never hit that. But think of it as like some sort of ceiling. And you want to constantly be doing things that helps you close the gap. So you have this idea in your mind of like, oh, this is the player that I would love to be when I'm, a certain age or a certain ability level. Then we want to be doing things that get us to close the gap between where we are today and that player. So we want to understand, hey, it's about that. It's about my potential to become a great player is on the line today. And I need to do the right things to make that happen. And pushing, moonballing, or bailing out of long rallies is not the way to do that. We get more into avoidance of losing rather than learning how to play in various situations. So I would say the benefits, Josh, and then we can maybe get into some specific things one can practice with this philosophy. But I think the benefits can be you can feel less pressure about winning today. Now, does that mean I don't want you to care about winning? No. Because that's a skill in itself that we all need to practice as well, right? Having a strong desire to win no matter what the score is. But if you can look at it as I'm practicing that skill to improve it going forward, maybe that takes some pressure off. I think that this perspective also can help you play with more positive intent. And what I mean by that is the risk-averse strategies of pushing and moonballing or being tight, leaving the ball short. That's not a game with positive intent. That's a game basically of avoidance. You're trying to avoid losing and avoid making mistakes, avoid making the big decisions. When you can let go of that and value who you're becoming, now you want to practice your A game. Now you want to hit balls more forcefully. Now you want to work on the quality of your ball, the spin and the power. You want to work on certain strategies. Maybe you want to work on closing sets because that's something that you've been struggling with. Well, hey, today's an opportunity to work on that. So I think you can play with more positive intent in your game. I think you can look at today's match as about learning something. If your potential is on the line, every day, then you need to learn something from the experience that you can then apply to the next one. So we get better and better and ultimately hit your goal, hopefully, of becoming the best you can be. And I think when we do this, our game can flow more freely. We can let it rip. We can be more confident in our shots, or at least trust those shots more. And that's what I've been trying to work on with players, especially those who are overly fixated on their current ranking, rating, or whatever, and trying to prove things and justify things and meet expectations of other people, their coaches, their parents, etc. And they're putting more emphasis on that than who they're becoming. And so the players who buy into this, Josh, what I've noticed is that they all begin to improve again just by having a real commitment to this. And I think one real key tool for playing this way is having some sort of journal, is the ability to now look at these as experiences I must learn from. And through that reflection and discussion, now I can, make better decisions about what I want to do going forward. But I want to, hear your thoughts on the idea of focusing more on who you're becoming.
I mean, to me, a lot of what we're talking about relates to this concept of focusing on the process rather than fixating on our results, right? We're focusing on the improvement process. Ideally, we've really laid that out. We've talked about using some sort of tool for our development, like a development plan. The USTA has a link to that. And if anyone needs that, I know we've linked to that in past episodes, but we can certainly, provide that or send that to anybody. I having a clear vision of, what does that development plan look like over the next 3 months, let's just say, or over the next 6 months, like over the next year. Where am I heading? What are the areas of my game that I'm trying to work on? And being very clear about that can make a big difference in terms of not getting too focused on whatever's happening today. But yeah, I think going back to what I was saying, it's a lot about focusing on that process, focusing on the improvement process, having that be the main goal, and having that main goal being, okay, I want to become a great player. I want to become the best player I can be. I want to be the best college player I can be. I want to be the best USTA player I can be, right? Let's say somebody is a 3-0 player right now, and they're really striving to become that 3-5 player. Let's really figure out, okay, what does that look like? What does it take for me to be a 3-5 player? What does a really good 3-5 player, how do they play? How do they handle different types of situations? What do their strokes look like? Let's really figure that out. Or it's obviously the same if you're striving to be a 4-0 or 4-5, 5-0, whatever it is. But let's really figure that out, and then let's try to think step by step how we get there, understanding that some days are going to be better than others, understanding some days you're going to be closer to that goal, closer to that aspiration than others. But yeah, I think those are a couple of the key parts to it. But I think yeah, it's very easy for us to get very wrapped up in today's level, and I think it can. In a certain way, whatever our results are, and we've talked about tennis being a sport where you get that feedback instantly, right? You get that instant feedback after every single point, and also after a match, right? It's you. If we're playing singles, it's you or it's your opponent on the other side of the net. And were you better than them today, or were you worse than them today? Did you win, or did you lose ultimately? And that can feel very personal. That can feel very personal if it's against somebody that you know, if it's against a teammate, if it's against a rival, if it's against someone you've played, a number of times in the past. It can feel like a statement about where you are, but also who you are. It can impact your identity, it can impact your ego, and being able to put those things aside and put maybe that bruised ego aside for a second and understand that, first of all, there's much to be learned from those types of days, from losing, from days where you don't have your best. But also, being able to put aside any one performance, any tournament, any particular match, and understand that match is not the goal. The goal is not to play excellently in that one particular match, and that's the end all be all. The goal is to be the best player you can be, and that one match is simply one milestone along that journey. Does it feel really important today? Right after, yes, right. I'm sure oftentimes in that car ride home, whether it's an adult player, whether it's a junior player, it's tough. It's tough to sit with those emotions, to sit with maybe that disappointment, that frustration. But being able to zoom out a little bit and broadening our perspective, understand, also broaden that timeline a little bit, and understand that the goal is more long term, is helps to put things in perspective about a performance that happened, but also helps to take the pressure off of each match as you go into it, if you can start to really adopt that sort of mentality.
And all these experiences are simply good mental training for us. And I know we have covered the definitions of what it means to be competitive and the point of competition in the past, but I think that that's also good to come back to get centered around this who we are becoming, because we've discussed it in 3 points in priority order. You must enjoy competing, so you must want to play the game, you must love the sport. Simply for the love of it or just the playing of it. Secondly, and this really gets to the point of today's episode, is you must see competition as a means of improving your game. And, I think Jorge Capistrani used this model with us way back in one of our early episodes about looking at practice and clinics as essentially like homework, and practice matches as quizzes, and competition matches as tests. And the idea is, of course, you want to do as well as you can on the test, but the purpose of a test in school is just to test what you know up until this point. And then you see what you need to work on, and then you go through that same process again. And that's really what competition is about. So we want to keep that in mind. A second thing I think we want to keep in mind, Josh, is something we have also discussed in recent episodes is this idea of self-image. Very often, the self-image about who we are in the present moment is not so positive. And in order for us to improve, like it's hard to outperform your self-image. If your self-image is one of like, oh, I'm struggling, or I never win big matches, or something like that, well, then you're really just going to perform to the level of your self-image. And so when we think about who we're becoming, we can also craft a self-image of who we want to be. How do we want to see ourselves? And it should be, very positive and aspirational, and it should meet exactly what we want. And we want to speak about that in the present tense. We don't have to tell other people what it is. You can certainly share it with your performance team that this is how we want to talk about me and my game so that I'm not getting these sort of self-limiting self-images in my mind. So I think those are some important concepts that I wanted to layer on there because I think they can help athletes make the transition from focusing too much on who they are to who they are becoming. With that being said, this is a difficult, can be a difficult choice, and it's one that needs to be repeated over and over again. And it takes some courage to do it because, as we stated earlier, most of the tennis culture is about winning today. You're on a team, oh, we got to win this match today. You got to win this match today. And it's all about today's result. And it can become difficult to, and I'm not even sure I would suggest this, but telling a teammate, well, for me, everything is just practice. Now, I love that personally. Like that's your attitude because you're trying to become the best you can become. And it doesn't mean you're not going to try hard, but you have conceptualized it in such a way that nothing truly terrible will happen to me if I lose. And we have to keep that in mind. Nothing truly terrible will happen. Sure, it'll be disappointing, but the sun will come up again the next day. You will be able to play again, and hopefully, if you're a true competitor, you'll say to yourself, "All right, let's get right back out there. I want to play again tomorrow." Or, you know what? I just had lost a tough match. Let's go hit a few balls. I want to feel good at the end of the day. Those are the signs of people who really are competitive. And I think that is a skill that, in this process of valuing who you are becoming, can also get a lot better. And I think you can allow yourself to play even more freely when you do it this way.
Definitely. I think that this concept of playing freely, playing loose, playing relaxed, I mean it's a concept that a lot of tennis players struggle with, right? It's people often talk about playing tight, playing tense, holding their breath as they're swinging or whatever, however it's phrased, but it's a very common phenomenon. And I think the idea that this match is maybe not as important as it's cracked up to be, this one match, just like we put that much importance on that last match and the match before that. And matches are an important part of the development process, but they're not, no one match is the end all be all. And let's go out there and play and do our best ultimately and lose sight of the score and the result a little bit. It ends up having a very positive impact, and people tend to actually play better that way when they're not so focused on the score, when they're not so focused on a particular result, and okay, what is this going to do for my ranking or my rating? Instead, let's go out there and play. Let's focus on playing great tennis today, because I know that that's going to lead towards me continuing to improve, rather than let's go out there and win. And I need to win, and I need to beat this person because I've beaten them in the past. And what does that say about me if I don't? If we can shift that focus towards, focusing on playing well and doing everything that you can be, everything that you can do on that particular day, being a great competitor, being a great tactician, trying to give yourself the best chance going into each point, focusing on some of these things rather than just on the result. We're focusing on how we get there. We're focusing on what gives us the best chance to have a good result today, but also long term. So if we can, shift where our attention is from today's result, from even today's performance as a whole, and think longer term, but also just think more in a more process-oriented way, it has a lot of benefits, including number one, your performance. People's performance tends to be better. People tend to experience less pressure. People tend to enjoy being out there more too, right? I mean, most people start playing a sport because they enjoy it, because it's fun. And as you start competing more, sometimes people lose sight of that. So I think making sure that that doesn't get forgotten about as well during this process, because if you're so stressed about winning today, that doesn't always sound like a lot of fun. If we're more focused on, okay, we're trying to become a great player here. We're playing this tournament. We have another tournament in a couple weeks. This is what the schedule looks like. These are all those important milestones. And being able to sort of take a step back for a second, and then also committing to enjoying that process, enjoying those ups and downs, enjoying the process of getting better, enjoying the hard work that comes along with it, but making sure that the fun and enjoyment is there, I think also makes it easier to continue to develop as a player.
So hopefully listeners have gotten I guess our message here, Josh, that try to value and prioritize who you're becoming. Certainly, there can be value to focusing on who you are right now. You have to understand that in order to know where you want to go. There may be value in looking at who you were. That could be some sort of confidence build when you maybe compare who you are today versus who you were. Hopefully there is improvement for some, maybe not, but I would say in general, most. But if we can really be working toward who we're becoming, I think there are a lot of positive benefits to performance, improvement, enjoyment, like you just said. I mean, that's a huge part of this. We should be doing it because we enjoy it. Again, that's a big part of what it means to be competitive. So, we'd love to get your thoughts on this or any feedback that you have or questions. You can email us at tennisiqpodcast@gmail.com. You can also use the Twitter hashtag tennisiq. For more on today's episode, you can check out the show notes. Additionally, please subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice, including YouTube, so you can be notified of new episodes. Also, check us out on Instagram. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiq/membership. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon in our next episode.